Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya. Naram Chaivam Narutamam. Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudiraye. Nastaparisu Abhadrisu. Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naistike.
So today is Vasant Panchami, or the first day of spring, and an auspicious day. It is also Sarasvati Puja, to begin with. It is said the day to begin. Sarasvati is the goddess of learning. And as the goddess of learning, she is the Shakti of Krishna. As Krishna expands himself, he takes various forms, and then from the form of Mahavishnu, so many other forms come, and also eventually the form of Lord Shiva, and even Lord Brahma is known as a Shakti Avesh avatar. In the same way, from Srimati Radharani comes the form of Mahalakshmi, and from her come all the female counterparts that are accompanying the various male deities, such as Shiva and Parvati, Brahma and Sarasvati, and so on. So in this way, as all the male forms have their origin in Krishna, the female forms have their origin in Srimati Radharani. It is stated that Sarasvati manifested from Lord Brahma, from the face of Lord Brahma, and she is dressed in white. She is seated on a lotus. She plays a musical instrument, a veena. And in one hand, she holds Shastra, a book, and in the other hand, a mala. So in this way, she shows us, really, what to do. It is Sarasvati who is seated in the tip of the tongue of the speaker, and therefore, before speaking, a prayer was also there. Narayanam. Namaskritya, Naram Chaivam Narutamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. So also praying to Sarasvati Devi to be empowered also on the material plane. So this spring season is the beginning of a new era. Now a time to start things, so it is stated. So on Sarasvati Puja, it is the time to start one's learning. One makes a new beginning. In Vrindavan, the spring season is maintained. Even throughout the summer season, the spring season continues, because it is said that at the time of Krishna, there are many wonderful waterfalls that cause a spray of cooling water, and therefore even in the summer it feels like spring. So it stays that spring season. The spring season is also representing Kamadev. It is said, whereas Sarasvati was born from the face of Lord Brahma, Kamadev was born from his heart. And it said Kamadev also is there at this time in Vasant Panchami manifest, because spring manifests also, all the flowers start blossoming, the sweet scents are coming, so naturally it becomes a background for amorous pastimes. Of course in Vrindavan these are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and we are simply servants and not enjoyers. So in that mood we are looking at the spring season as a season for Krishna's pleasure. All the deities in Vrindavan are dressed in yellow today. Also here we see lots of yellow on the altar to show that festive season, full of color, full of scent. Then it is also the appearance day of many great personalities, beginning with Pundarik Vijayanidhi. Pundarik Vijayanidhi will begin because in the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, Murari Gupta's diary, it is described that before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many elders would come to Navadvip. Pundarik Vijayanidhi was one of them. It said that at that time, the disciples of Madhavendra Puri were preaching in West Bengal. In the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, it is described that Madhavendra Puri is a Shakti Avesh avatar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore he is the origin of the entire Bhakti Kalpataru, which came from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that first his disciples are spreading this love of God all over, especially the Bengal area in Navadvip. Pundarik Vijayanidhi was originally from East Bengal, a village to the north of Chittagong, that is the southeast. And in that same area also Mukunda Dutta and Vasudev Dutta came from that same village area. So they knew him very closely. Pundarik Vijayanidhi was therefore one of the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would call him father. One time he cried out, "Oh father, oh father," and the devotees were wondering, why is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crying in this way? And it said that Mahaprabhu explained that he was remembering Pundarik, and how Pundarik Vijayanidhi was such a devotee that he was worshipping the Ganga, and he could not tolerate that people would just go to the Ganga to cleanse themselves. A devotional approach to the Ganga that he could handle. But when people were washing their mouth and spitting in the Ganga and gurgling or washing their clothes and all these things, Pundarik Vijayanidhi couldn't bear this. He said, "This is so disrespectful." Therefore, he would go to the Ganga only in the night. He would go to the Ganga at night. And it said that he would collect some Ganga water, and he would first drink Ganga water before starting his puja. So for this, all this was explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So it is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So that is interesting how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appreciating that attitude of respect towards the Ganga. So Pundarik Vijayanidhi, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him father, devotees were initially puzzled. But later, it became apparent who Pundarik Vijayaniri actually was. When later, Pundarik, he had a house still in his native village, and he also had a house in Navadvip. So he would sometimes stay in one place and sometimes stay in the other. So he would come from time to time. So at one point, Pundarik was coming to Navadvip, and Mukunda knew that Pundarik is coming. He's such a wonderful Vaishnav. And he was telling Gadadhar Pandit how wonderful Pundarik was. So Gadadhar developed the desire, oh, we must meet him, we must see him. Such a great ecstatic Vaishnava. And then, at that time, they came and they saw that Pundarik Vijayaniri was seated on a very opulent seat, very opulent, with pots with scented water next to him. There was incense billowing. His hair had been coiffured, right, in a very beautiful way. He was wearing silken clothes. He had rings everywhere. And he was being served, and he was chewing pan and betel nut, and servants were there offering him nice drinks and all these things. And when Gadadhar saw it, he thought, oh, he is a Visayi. He is a sense enjoyer. My God, everyone has glorified him for being such an amazing personality. And now see, Mukunda could read the expression on Gadadhar's face. So Mukunda, knowing very well who Pundarik Vijayaniri was, he began to sing. He began to sing about Putana and how Putana had come and had tried to poison Krishna, and that Krishna had taken that poison and drank it, and that he also drank her milk, and for that offering of milk accepted her eternally as a matri, as a datri, as a nurse, as a mother in the spiritual world, in Golok. And when Pundarik Vijayaniri just heard that song and was thinking of the amazing mercy of Krishna, he just went beyond himself, and he just spontaneously threw his arms up, he kicked, and all the beautiful paraphernalia around him just flew in the air. The pots with scented water smashed on the ground. He rolled in the water, spoiling his clothes and everything. And suddenly Gadadhar realized how he had committed a great offense by underestimating him. And Gadadhar then decided to approach him for initiation and become his disciple. So in this way we can appreciate what a personality. These personalities, these associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are embodiments of love. The mood of Pundarik Vijayaniri was a mood of parental love. His mood was parental love, because it is explained in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika that Pundarik Vijayaniri in Krishna Lila was none other than Maharaj Vrishabhanu. So being Maharaj Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani, he naturally accepted Krishna as his son, and Krishna naturally accepted him as his father. And therefore, upon hearing about this pastime of Putana, which is like a parental pastime, he was especially deeply, deeply touched by great ecstasy. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the title Prem Nidhi, one who is filled with prem. So in this way, we see how these personalities have flooded Navadvip with transcendental love, and in this way revealed the nature of the Dham. The residents of the Dham are meant to embody the nature of the Dham. In the Gopalchampu, we are reading how Jiva Goswami is describing the ecstatic love of the Dham. And he's saying the Dham is just overwhelmed with transcendental prema. So one may not think of the Dham like that, as being overwhelmed with love. But that is the nature of the Dham. It is overwhelmed with Krishna prema. So the residents in the Dham are meant to embody that, and in this way to be transparent. That is our challenge for being in the Dham. That is our challenge, even as preachers anywhere in the world, to preach about Vrindavan by being transparent to Vrindavan. Therefore it is said Vrindavan exists in Golok, the spiritual world. Vrindavan exists as Boma Vrindavan. And there is a third Vrindavan, which is Vrindavan as a state of consciousness. So Jiva Goswami mentions in his Bhakti Sandarbha. So, like that, an internal Vrindavan. Prem Nidhi was completely in that internal Vrindavan. Therefore, he was the embodiment of the Dham and began to reveal the transcendental nature of the Dham to all who could see, along with other associates such as Gopinath Acharya, Srivas Thakur settled there, Haridas was nearby, Advaita Acharya was there. Like that, these personalities were all the predecessors of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next personality who maybe we can shortly speak about is Srimati Vishnupriya, who became the first, who became the second wife of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first wife, Lakshmi Priya, she gave up her body in separation when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching in West Bengal. Some say snake bite, but in Chaitanya Bhagavat it says the snake bite of separation. We understand what that means. So then Sachidevi was very, very sad. And again, she desired that her son would marry. So he did. He married Vishnupriya. And she is described as an incarnation of Bhudevi in the Gauraganadesh Deepika. Now, Vishnupriya, it is said that she was very, very young when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. She was only 16 years old, and he left. He left. He left his old mother, and he left a young wife of 16 years old to take sannyas. How could he do such a thing? Inconceivable. Who was going to take care of them? One was too young, the other one too old. How could he go? Irresponsible. No, because the sannyasi knows that ultimately, who am I as a caretaker? I am here to take care of a family. But how much can I take care of a family? Atma sanyesu asatsu api. We ourselves are fallible soldiers. Bhagavatam is pointing out. We are fallible soldiers ourselves. So what can we do against the perplexing circumstances of the three modes of material nature? So what can one do to protect? So he, therefore, one, before taking sannyas, before leaving home, one prays and places the wife, the elderly mother, in the hands of the Lord. Because he is the ultimate protector. So in this way, Vishnupriya was left under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because the sannyasi then is taking up, dedicating his whole life to service to the Supreme Lord, he purchases the mercy of the Lord, which then will the former wife will share. So in this way, it's a perfect arrangement. Nothing like
a divorce, right?
Or something like that. A cold and... No, it is a perfect arrangement. Anyway, so Vishnupriya remained alone. It is said that she became very old. Some say she became as old as 92. So she lived practically a whole life in separation from her husband. And therefore she was worshipping a deity of her husband. That deity is still there in Mayapur, in Navadvip, Dameshwar Mahaprabhu. And we see that it's a very large deity. They say it was a life-size deity. And that deity is not with the arms raised, but the deity is like with the two hands down and the arms like that, the hands open. Like giving personal mercy to Vishnupriya. Not now flooding the world. No, mercy to Vishnupriya like this. Downwards, Vishnupriya who's down on the ground and in this way, worshipping the deity. And Vishnupriya would chant. She would chant on grains of rice. And simply, as many rounds as she chanted, that's as many grains of rice she would cook for the day. So that's an interesting approach to japa. Something different than chanting on beats or skipping beats, right? You wouldn't skip rice grains, you know. You might skip a beat, but you wouldn't skip a rice grain if that's all you're going to eat, right? Every grain counts, you know. Every grain is one. So what a wonderful example, what a wonderful way to embrace the holy name. So although Vishnupriya was only 16 years old, see what she did. See what service she did. What she did for this movement. That chanting of Vishnupriya that just stands eternally before us. And we meditate on that, right? Again and again. The more we remember it, the better. Whenever we remember, we are humbled. Whenever we remember, maybe we should give it a try one day. Just once. Just one day to see how far we get, how much rise. How about that? That would be a purifying activity. So in this way, we are worshipping Srimati Vishnupriya. So there are other personalities today. And there is Raghunandan Thakur from Srikanda, who was very famous for that that story where he was asked as a boy to worship the deity on behalf of his father who had to go. And he was making arrangements. His mother supplied offerings to him, and he did everything, the puja and the whole thing, and then he made the offering, and then it was there. Then he came back, and the deity didn't eat. And he says, "What is this? You haven't eaten, you haven't finished your plate." What is this? He said, now listen, you know, we're not going to have this. I'll give you 5 minutes. I'll be back. And I don't want to find a trace left on this tray, on this plate. So he went, came back, and everything finished. Krishna ate everything. So then, you know, like, okay, he brought the plate, the empty plate, and the mother said, well, where is the Mahaprasada? What did you do? He said, no, he ate everything. She said, oh, you rascal, you stole all the Mahaprasada. Wait till your father comes home. And the father came home and heard the story. And then, but so the father chastised the son. But the son cried and said, no, it's true. And he had cried with so much sincerity that the father said, well, maybe it is. So the father said, oh, I'm still very tired from the journey. I cannot do the puja today. I'll start tomorrow. You do it still today. And then everything was going, and when it was time for the offering, then the father was peeking behind the curtain. And he saw how Krishna had come off the altar and was eating everything. Then Krishna saw how Mukunda, the father, was looking. And subsequently, Krishna jumped back on the altar. So again, it is a very famous story, but such an important story. Because we stand every day in front of the deity and just sort of absorbed in our own minds, in our own misery, standing there with cold feet or whatever else it is, empty pockets, empty stomachs, empty heads, empty hearts, full of emptiness. We stand there in front of the Lord and we just think that yes, here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there is no ecstasy in our heart. And so in all our dryness, we can remember Raghunandan Thakur, and in all our dryness we can appreciate how he, in his childish simplicity, realized, here is a person. Here really is Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he must eat and finish his plate like every other boy. Yes. So, how wonderful. How wonderful. So we are carrying on. And the next personality is Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he of course is essential in our movement. He takes a very central role as one of the six Goswamis. These six Goswamis, they are providing the foundation. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, one who is not a follower of the six Goswamis cannot actually make any spiritual advancement. We must go through the six Goswamis. It is there where our shelter lies. Raghunath Das, he came later because he was a little younger. He was a little younger than Rupa and Sanatan. Raghunath Das also lived longer. Like, it is, the birth dates of Rupa and Sanatan are sometimes questioned. But they appeared close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance or a little bit before. And it is thought that they lived somewhere till 1554. So, whatever may be, one outlived the other a little bit, but not much. And then Raghunath Das lived much longer. He lived till 1576. So Raghunath Das became the leader of the Vaishnavas after the departure of Rupa and Sanatana. He was the Mahant. He was the senior most leader amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas at that time. Raghunath Das, he was a extraordinary personality. We find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he was from a very wealthy family, how he tried to leave home, but his father was using guards and kept him home and this and that. And at one point, his mother said, "Our son has gone mad. Maybe we should bind him up." He said, "Raghunath," the father said, "Raghunath has the wealth of Indra. He has a most beautiful wife. He lives in a palace, and all that could not bind him. Do you think that rope can bind him?" So eventually Raghunath escaped and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started a path of extraordinary renunciation. It was said that his renunciation was like a line carved in stone. There was no deviation from his sadhana, from his vows, no matter what. No matter what the physical condition was, he was not under the weather. He was not in any way influenced by these kind of bodily limitations. Raghunath Das, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is very famous for becoming first living only from alms, then giving that up because he felt that it was like it developed the mentality of a prostitute. This one gave me a donation today, now again he will give me. Smile at him. So no, forget it. There was rice thrown out from the Jagannath temple. It was, that rice had gone bad. It was just totally gone bad. It was so bad that even the cows wouldn't touch it. Raghunath took that rice. He washed it so that the rotten soft core would come up and that only an inner core would remain. And that inner core, little silt, that he would take. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring from Sarup Damodar. He had put Raghunath under the care of Sarup Damodar. So Sarup Damodar, how is your Raghunath? What is he doing now? Now he's eating this rice thrown out from the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he went there. He said, "Raghunath, give me some of that prasadam. What are you having there? What nectar are you hiding from me? Give something." Raghunath said, "My lord, no, my lord, that's not for you." But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very tall, and he had very long arms, and he was very powerful. Simha, like Simha Chaitanya, the lion. What could Raghunath do in front of that personality? He just snatched some of it, tasted it, said, "This is the most delicious prasadam I've ever had, I've ever tasted." So Raghunath Das showed this example of renunciation, showed an example of living very simple. That simplicity in Raghunath was not only external. It was not only in his eating, sleeping, and so on, but it was also in his mood as a devotee. Raghunath would say, "I am not qualified. Therefore, I am not qualified for these higher aspects of devotional service. And therefore, Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakya, all these are too exalted for me." He said, all I can turn to is Dasya. And Raghunath Das was just in the mood of a servant. But when the Vaishnavas put pressure on him, then he said, then what can we do? We must be obedient to the Vaishnavas. Only then. So Raghunath Das became was placed under the care of Swarup Damodar. And he was there. Swarup Damodar was guiding him in serving Krishna according to his eternal identity. This antaranga seva. Now that is not for conditioned souls. That is for those who are prema rurukshu, who are approaching prema. So Raghunath Das engaged him in remembering, or Raghunath Das was engaged in that way, in remembering his Siddhadeha and serving in the mood of Siddhadeha. That is definitely there within our philosophy. That is definitely at one point essential that we become residents of the spiritual world, but not artificially. Yes, we begin to meditate like that when we receive our Gayatri mantras. These Gayatri mantras take us in the spiritual world. When we receive Brahminical initiation, we are allowed to enter onto the altar, which is the spiritual world. We are allowed, but not any further. So currently, who is ready to contemplate their eternal Swarup? But Raghunath Das was such a devotee. He was. In the Gauraganadesh Deepika, he's described as Rasamanjari. Now, Raghunath Das was there in Jagannath Puri, and that is very significant because that is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Antyalila took place. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the last 12 years of his life, he stayed there and he was no longer in external consciousness. For the first 6 years in Puri, the residents of Bengal would come every year for Rath Yatra. But in the last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in such ecstatic state of consciousness, the devotees from Bengal were no longer invited to come. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained there with only a few associates. Swarup Damodar, who is none other than Lalita, Ramananda Roy, who is none other than Vishakha, and Raghunath Das, who was the servant of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was also there. Govinda, the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was there. Now, so many extraordinary activities took place, and so many discussions were there. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was the personal secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he kept a diary of these later pastimes and of everything that was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to him. And that diary was lost. But Raghunath Das, in his introduction to his commentary on the Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Raghunath Das memorized the entire diary of Swarup Damodar. And he brought this with him when he came to Vraj. And when he settled in Vraj, he settled at Radhakund and eventually excavated Radhakund. And it was there that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami connected with Raghunath Das Goswami. And that Krishnadas heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. And that in this way, the great Mahants from the Radha Govinda temple, they knew Krishnadas Kaviraj, he must write about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he has never met him, he must write. Because he has been trained by the Goswamis, so philosophically he represents the Goswamis, and he has heard from Raghunath Das, Who knows everything about the later pastimes? It is said in the Govindaji temple, the devotees of Mahaprabhu were every day gathering to hear Chaitanya Bhagavat, then called Chaitanya Mangal. Every day they would hear the earlier pastimes of Mahaprabhu, but they knew that Krishnadas was the perfect person to write about the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And thus he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das also is bringing us that Chaitanya Charitamrita through Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which is like the last word in Gaudiya Vaishnav theology. The last word is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, he was in Assam, there was a flood, he was giving a lecture. And everything, there was a flash flood. Then he said, began to speak about the Mahapralaya, when the whole universe becomes inundated, and said that if the universe gets inundated, what will you do? You will take the Bhagavad Gita, you will take the Bhagavatam, and you take the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you go out there in the water. Then, if it gets too much to carry, too much, all these books, how can you carry them? So then, let the Bhagavad Gita go. Oh, let it go. Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then after some time, two arms, too heavy, all these books, how can I carry? All right. Let the Bhagavatam go. Let the Bhagavatam go. Oh, yes, let it go. Hold on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because from that, everything can be restored, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said. So, in this way, we can appreciate. Raghunath Das Goswami himself wrote several books, and in these books, he emphasized particularly the mood of Radha Dasya, that the sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the party of Srimati Radharani herself. Because Lalita, she is the direct servant of Srimati Radharani, and she is like the head of Srimati Radharani's party of gopis. And they are just interested in Radha and Krishna meeting. They are serving. They're not interested in meeting with Krishna directly. And the assistant of Lalita is Rupa Manjari. So Lalita is Sarup Damodar, Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. So as Rupa Nugas, Radha Dasya, the servant of Srimati Radharani, that is in the forefront. Gopi Bhartapada Kamalayur, Dasana, 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 Das, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Many times removed, the servant of Srimati Radharani, many times removed. Krishna, how can one please Krishna more than pushing Srimati Radharani forward? Than pushing a greater devotee forward? Than pushing our spiritual master forward? Therefore, why take our glory? Why take a glorious position? Give the glory to the spiritual master. And in this way, through the cyclic succession to Srimati Radharani. So Radha Dasya, Raghunath emphasizes this point in his writings. Then we are carrying on, finally, on this day, we are also celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appears later. He comes a few centuries later. Srila Vishwanath, sometimes the sampradaya is described as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's like a shortcut in the sampradaya. And how through these main acharyas it comes. Then Baladev, and then Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. Like that. So, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was the principal acharya representing Gaudiya Vaishnavism into the 17th century. And when we read his commentary on Bhagavatam, it is just absolutely amazing. It starts like in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. I was just reading a little bit about Sukadev Goswami. And then he is describing that, he is saying, Sukadev Goswami is the eye of the universe. So, the eye of the universe? That's the sun. Yes, because this Bhagavatam is described, it is brilliant as the sun. Bhagavatam is brilliant as the sun. So, therefore, because Sukadev Goswami is Bhagavatam personified, therefore, he is like the sun. He is the eye of the universe. Through him, the whole universe will see. That's another meaning. Through him, the whole universe will see. So in this way, in just these few words, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary is just like writing something so potent. So potent. Then there is Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Valam Sukamukattam Ritas Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. It is saying Rasamalayam. So in this verse, it is said one should hear the Bhagavatam, it is the cream, the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and so on, and one should then Rasamalayam. One should taste this nectar. Yes. And then Vishnath gives his commentary. He says, Rasalayanam Laya. Laya is one of the ecstatic symptoms, he said, one of the transformations that are the result of ecstatic love. And this laya means one should hear the Bhagavatam until one faints. And that's, yeah, but then one cannot hear the Bhagavatam anymore. Yes, but then when you come back to your senses, you hear the Bhagavatam again until you faint again. And that's how one should hear Bhagavatam. Totally involved. So in this way we can see how this commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is just extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And of course it is found, many elements of it are found in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Who is just, as the humble servant, faithfully presenting the commentaries of Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas, and then add some of his own insights. And in this way, in the 10th canto, there are all these discussions. Vishwanath, he is giving in his commentary all kinds of discussions between Krishna and the devotees, and it's just as if he's there. It's not as if he's there, he is there. See? You should just understand. It's not like he's writing what Krishna is saying. Yeah? For example, after Indra has battered Govardhan with his thunderbolt, after the whole thing is over, Krishna goes, has a look at Govardhan Hill, how much damage Indra has done on the back of Govardhan. Then Indra is there, and Krishna says, Indra, Indra. Indra, how could you act like that? You are supposed to be my devotee. How could you act like that? How could you send these clouds that were about to kill the residents of Vrindavan? How is that befitting for a devotee? Indra said, I was proud. Krishna says, yes, but pride has to be curbed by intelligence. And Indra said, I was angry, so I lost my intelligence. Krishna was just shaking his head and walked away. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is describing such discussions. They're not found in the verses. They're not found anywhere. He's just seeing. He's seeing. Although he is in this world, he is a Parisat devotee of the Lord. He is the eternal associate of the Lord who looks into that, into the spiritual world. Every morning, I'll end in a few moments. Every morning, those who are fortunate begin the day with the Guru Vastakam. Those who are unfortunate, they miss it in Vrindavan because you have to be early to catch it. What can I say? But if you catch it, that Guru Vastakam, those are the words of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And oh, what an amazing definition he gives of the spiritual master. Oh, what a deep understanding of how the spiritual master is the servant of Krishna. And how he is relishing. He's not just a representative of Vedic knowledge who faithfully delivers that transcendental knowledge. He is an ecstatic personality who is deeply absorbed in love for Krishna and is relishing Krishna and the tadiya, Krishna and all the paraphernalia related to Krishna. He's relishing. And we see Shingara Tanmandira Marjanado, he's cleaning the temple. So clean. Yes. In the past we had devotees cleaning the chandeliers, and there was one devotee who would chant, he would polish the chandeliers. He had a big ladder, a tower on wheels, and one devotee, he was just looking after the chandeliers, and he would chant one name on each beat. You know, you just polish it like Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. It's some spirit. And like this, he was chanting all the beats of the chandelier, go do all the chandeliers, and then start again. And they were shining. Shingara Tan Mandira Marjanado, cleaning the temple of the Lord. This cleaning the temple of the Lord is creating the atmosphere of the spiritual world. The spiritual master is always concerned with us. Nikunya Yunu. He is part of the eternal pastimes of the Lord. He's happy to see devotees take prasadam. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, and without worshipping him at least three times a day, one cannot attain perfection. Like this, he is the rain cloud that extinguishes the blazing forest fire of material existence. The Maya is so overpowering like a forest fire. You can do nothing when there's a blazing forest fire. Even running away is difficult. It can travel with a speed of like 150 kilometers or more. What will you do? You will run away? Let's see. Nothing you can do. Helpless against the power of the material energy. Sansara davanana lila loka. And all the people afflicted by this overpowering energy of Maya. And then but the rain can put it out. Gana ganatvam. There comes the spiritual master like a rain cloud of mercy. Extinguishing this Maya in this way. We bow down to the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. And in this way we bow down every day to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who gave us that Guru Vastakam, who revealed it to us, who opened our darkened eyes, and in that way, who is still an active acharya in our life. And that is the point I want to make in conclusion, that all these personalities, they're still active in our life. Oh, Vishnupriya, chanting on grains of rice. Oh, Raghunandan, realizing the deity is not made of stone. Oh, Pundarik Vijayaniri, such prem. Oh. O Raghunath Das Goswami, yes, we are taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his mercy only. Can we approach? We will be strict like Raghunath does in our sadhana, in our chanting of the holy name, and in offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas thousands of times a day. All these things, all these acharyas are still living with us today. And therefore, today, this day is most auspicious, most auspicious. So much mercy is there today, and if we just contemplate that for a moment, no limit to our good fortune. So I'm very happy that I could be here somehow or other today on Vasant Panchami. It's very nice that Panchagoda came back on Vasant Panchami. Maybe he planned it like that. Being a good manager, you know, that's what it means to be a good manager. After you leave Vrindavan, you come back on Vasant Panchami. Smart in all respects. First day of spring, good point. All the amazing darshans today, and all the blessings of all these amazing personalities, especially to available on this day. So, not missing out on the mercy, we are happy to see him back. Any questions? Any comments? I can't hear you. I think you wouldn't have come if you would have known I would give class. I would have missed it. Anyway, thank you. Okay, one question and then we stop.
Well, just a clarification. You said Vishnupriya chant one round and then one zero, right? Or is it one mantra and one zero?
Yeah, I think it's one round. If it's one mantra, you get a lot of rice. And it was not a lot of rice. Yeah, you thought you'd get off light, right? No, one round, a grain of rice. She wasn't eating an awful lot. But she had to really chant to stay alive. Yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, and all these wonderful acharyas, appearance day and disappearance day, ki jai.